See my lovely wife, who will do an introduction to LICCV. She has recently come on board as one of the full-time secretaries, because I just can't do it all. I'm not as young as I used to be. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. Don't worry about it. I'll deal with that, all right? But my wife will come, and she has some interesting things she'd like to share with you about the ministry, about what God is doing. And I say this to parents and grandparents. Our children are under attack, and many of us don't even know it. So today, listen to what this message has to say. Listen to what people are saying. Listen to what eyewitnesses are saying. And no one is exempt from the onslaught of sexuality. No one. So it's time that we grab a hold to it, do it God's way, and watch and see how you get blessed. Amen? Okay.
We all have hopes and dreams for our children. When we close our eyes and imagine what our children could be doing in 10, 20, or 30 years, we see them thriving. We picture them finding their calling in life, finding their purpose and running after it. We know life has so much in store for them, times of joy, times of sorrow, and the challenges of making their way in this world. Many of us want to see our children grow up into happy marriages, where they can pass on hopes and dreams for their own children. But we live in a fallen world that has redefined what relationships should look like. At every turn, there's one more billboard, one more magazine cover, and one more TV show that tells our children, this is what beauty really is, this is what love looks like. This is what intimacy is. And at the tip of this mass media iceberg is something that has already stolen its way into our homes and has already started to unravel our kids' minds. It is already shaping the sexual expectations of our children. It's available at the click of a button, and the only thing that stands between it and your children is you.
Did you know that 90% of boys and 70% of girls are exposed to pornography online? Meanwhile, 71% of kids say that they're hiding internet activity from their parents. In 56% of divorce cases today, a major contributing factor is one spouse's continued use of inappropriate content online. What are you doing to protect your family online? Covenant Eyes Internet Accountability monitors how the internet is used on your family's mobile devices and their computers. Each web page visited is rated similar to TV shows or video games, like T for teen or M for mature. This information is collected in easy-to-read reports, and as a parent, you can receive weekly reports for your kids. Plus, you can invite your friends to receive reports for your internet activity, which enables you to enjoy the benefits of accountability and protection online as well. These reports provide you with a comprehensive view of how the internet is used in your home. They include information like the videos that are watched and words typed into search engines. Are you looking for additional protection? Covenant Eyes also provides internet filtering, which blocks inappropriate content and limits the amount of time spent online. Install Covenant Eyes on all your devices, your computers, phones, and tablets. There's no extra charge, and we provide free customer support. It's that simple. Sign up today. It's your turn to protect yourself and your family online.
things. When our employees are at work, they're supposed to be working, not on Facebook, not shopping, and things like that. And so if they do overuse the computer, I get a little message on my computer or text my phone and say that so-and-so has just spent how long I can look up. It'll say warning. It also does that for your children at home. It can limit time. It's a wonderful thing. We have Covenant Eyes brochures on the back so you can look into it. And grandparents, people that have grandparents, listen, my grandchildren are more savvy on the computer than I am. And so we block to protect them. It's not about them going to look. They make one mistake on the computer and they can get spammed. It's also on Macs, iPhones, iPads. So it's a very good thing to help. There are some 10 tips for internet safety, just some 10 basic, simple little things you can do in your home and as a parent or a person to help protect your children. I was listening to what Joel said, and he was saying about Pentecost, and today is 50 days from Passover, and that 3,000 people were added. Well, I'm thinking this weekend, 300,000 people are in this area going to see planes and racing over here. And it just pricked my heart a little bit. It would be wonderful if they were all in church on this day. And not that they aren't. Some of them might have gone earlier yesterday afternoon. But it's just, you're in a very pinnacle place. This church, it's a wonderful, warm family place, and you're in a pinnacle place to just share the Lord with. I'm sure the population doubles or triples during the summer, and just to share Christ and invite them to church. There was a lady when we were in the parking lot, and they could hear the singing, Joel, and the praise team, when you were practicing, and a little boy, he was about this big, that said, "Mommy, listen to the music." And she said, "Yeah, they're in there singing." I said, "Why don't you come in and visit?" And she smiled at me and kept walking. But you never know, maybe next week she'll come. It's as simple as that. You don't have to be an evangelist. One of the other things that Joe said and Pastor Greg said in terms of Memorial Day, and again, I was thinking about the 300,000 people and about pastors and missionaries that we're in our own army. We're in a spiritual army, and to just memorialize them today, to all the pastors that have fought for freedom for our souls. And I was thinking of Bobby. I've watched him for 20 years, bang the pavement, call pastors, get into churches. Thank God you are very progressive to have Bobby in this message on a Sunday morning. It's still a very controversial message. A lot of churches won't let him in to speak. They'll let him in a men's ministry, maybe the youth, but not on Sunday. So you can applaud yourself for being so progressive, especially the pastor. And this church has been supporting us for 20 years. We have a 20-year highlight in the back. Just take some of these things home, see what we are doing and what your church is supporting us to do, and that we are out there fighting for freedom from the sexualized culture. And the first 10 years, Bobby did Teen Challenge, drug and alcohol. So 30 years, we've been in the trenches. We're looking for a home, a facility where we can have education and seminars right on site. It's right on 110. It's in the middle of Long Island. 10 years we're trying to build this building. All sorts of things have come against us. A neighbor told the town we were going to house pedophiles, which we do not, and that held up our permits. And then she put up a fence and took 20 feet of our property that interferes with our parking lot, so we're in Supreme Court with her. There's all sorts of things that come against ministries and churches that you may not be aware of that tries to thwart what's going on. But what we do need is to complete that building. We've completed it all outside. We have a display board, and we have something very exciting going on. We are starting short-term summer missions trips to the building. Many of us, including myself, I can't go out of the country and spend $2,000-$3,000 to get there and to go build a building in Europe or in an Asian country. But we can come right to Long Island. It's right in Amityville. You can come there and join other churches that are going to be building. We need people. We need electricians, plumbers. But we need people that can just move a broom and paint a little bit or do whatever needs to be done. So pick up one of those brochures. with some of you, might have a day or two, and call the office and get an application. I did mention coming in eyes. See us in the back. We'll be back there after service, and just see a little bit of what you guys can do to continue so that we can stay free from the sexualized culture that is bombarding our world, not just Long Island, not our country, but our world. It's an equal opportunity destroyer. Thank you very much. Bless you.
I just can't get used to preaching without a jacket on. I don't know what that means. It means anything at all, but whatever. But today is a special day in our country. This weekend we celebrate our vets, our soldiers all across the world that are fighting for freedom. Lord has given us a beautiful country to live in. But you know something? We're losing it. And it's time that us who call ourselves Christians take a stand. I want to talk to you today about and it's time, and it's time that we take a stand. The Lord gave me a scripture about 2 years ago, and I've been using it off and on, but it's very good because it's in Joshua chapter 7, verse 10. It says, so the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed thing and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before the enemies, but turned their backs before the enemies because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Father, help us now to understand what you're telling us to do as a nation, as individuals. We need you, Lord. This is a battle, Lord, that's against you. So, Lord, help us fight with you, my God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, LICCV's, our mission and vision is a world free from the sexualized culture. A world free from the sexualized culture. In short, we equip individuals, families, churches to pursue sexual purity and oppose sexual exploitations. And we can do this. I don't know what it is. I think we just say, well, somebody else will do it. No, God's calling each and every one of you to do it. What part will you play in this? When you get to heaven, is the Lord going to be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant? This is something that we got to do. Young, old, doesn't matter. Because this is our country that we live in. If anybody should have anything against our country, I should. But I don't. Because I can't take what happened in the past and ride it into the new. I'm a creature in Christ. Old things have passed away, behold, old things become new. And that's how I look at every one of you. I thank God for Joe. I've been knowing Joe and his lovely wife for I don't know how many years. And I mean, man, you know, I was the best man at your wedding. You know, so tell me that's not special. It is. It really is. You know, so people together, things together. Now it's time for us to. I mean, let's look at some morality in our land, and we know why taxes are so high, and why everything is so high because it plays a part into the from the spiritual into the physical and vice versa. And it's time that we begin to ask the Lord to help us. For more than five decades, self-proclaimed experts, so-called sexual reformers, beginning with Alfred Kinsey, have worked to advance the belief that there are no public consequences to private sexual behavior. There is. And we need to understand. God, Adam and Eve, God made Adam, then he made Eve, and there was a likeness for each other. That was God's plan, Adam and Eve. Can't be Adam, can't be Bobby and Joel, can't be. It don't work. God has it where it's supposed to work. That's why people today are running around trying to adopt. You can't make that up. There's a special link between husband and wife. that two men can't have and two women can't have. There's a special link that we need to grab a hold to and wave the flag. This is the way that it's done, the godly way. Help us, O God. The Americans, for the most part, have bought into this, into the notion, proving what Lenin has said. A lie told often enough becomes the truth. A lie told often enough becomes the truth. And let me give you a perfect example. Separation of church and state. It's the biggest lie in the world. There is nowhere in the Constitution, there's nowhere in the amendment that says about separation of church and state. That was not what Thomas Jefferson was talking about. He was talking about the state telling the church what to do. And the state can't do that. But because we bought the lie, today we let the state push us all around. Some people wouldn't even allow this message to come from their pulpit, afraid of what the state going to do. They can't do nothing to you. They can't do nothing. And it's time that we understand that. We are children of God. We have the law on our side, if it's interpreted properly. We have people of God that work within the system that are just dying to do something but not sure what to do. That's where the church come in. We need to step in and say, God, help us to understand what's going on. Look at this sexualized culture we live in. Our goal is to provide Christians solutions in a sexualized culture. But first, we must understand that there's a problem. We got to understand that the sexualized culture we're living in is a problem. And it's factual, and it's time we do something about it. The impact of sexual revolution on the Christian community is enormous. You can't turn your TV on. You can't turn your radio on. You can't drive down the street. You can't do anything without being attacked sexually. I don't care what it is, who it is. But we don't do anything about it. We sit back and let it come. Even as the culture has deviated from the traditional understanding of sexual ethics in marriage, so have Christians. There is a good reason for that, because we are not allowing the Lord to work in us. George and other social scientists provide abundant evidence concerning the degree to which the sexual revolution has affected the church in the terms of sheer quantity and adultery, fornication, the use of pornography by professing. There is an enemy out there, and it's called pornography. There's an enemy out there that's called sexuality that has been turned around. Instead of for God's sake, now it's for man's sake. And when that happens, we lose. It's time that we ask the Lord to show us, to help us, what is it that we have to do. Consider the following. Most kids are exposed to porn by the age of 11 years old. 14,000 sexual messages are seen each year by these kids. I went to a middle school, and I asked all the boys, I said, how many of you have seen pornography? All their hands, I would say about three-quarters of their hands went up. Then I waited about two more minutes. I said, how many of you boys have seen pornography? And then three-quarters of their hands went up. I said, how many of you boys have seen pornography, but you don't want to admit it? And their hands shot right up and put it right back down again. So we're talking about almost 90 kids. Middle school kids, they're seeing it, it's out there. What are we doing about it? Are we protecting them? Are we talking to them? Are we telling them the dangers of this? Over half of the Christian men and nearly one-third of Christian women struggle with porn. You would never think this. But the thing that we have to understand is that there's a nature, a part of us, that is attracted to sexuality because that's the way God made it. The problem is that when Satan came in and talked to Eve and then Adam, he fell into it and it brought sin in. It took the perfect picture that God had and turned it into sin. So you're saying, well, then why am I paying for it? Because that's just the way it is. But if you have the Lord on your side, you can win this. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It's not easy. I had a porn problem. I had to get rid of it. And I tried when I went to Teen Challenge. And then I remember I tell you this story because I think I laugh at it now, but it wasn't funny when it was happening. I remember I lived in Long Beach, and I was on my way down to the beach to pray to meet the Lord. And on my way down, I passed that luncheonette. What was that called? The luncheonette down there off of Lafayette. And as I was walking past there, I heard a voice say, "Hey, go in there and buy the Ladies' Penthouse magazine." So I go, "Who are you talking to? I don't do that. I'm a man of God." So then all of a sudden, I heard another voice say, "That's right. Don't listen to him. He's the father of lies." So I thought for a second, and who did I listen to? Now, before you judge me, let me ask you a question. How many of you have done something, you knew it was wrong when you did it, but you did it anyway? Let me see your hands. And that's okay, you're here. Because we've all been there. So who did I listen to? I listened to old Slewfoot. Instead of me going about my business, I went into the store, in the store, looked around, made sure there was no one there that knew me, grabbed the magazine, threw it in a brown bag, threw the money on the counter, never waited for the change, spun around, got ready to leave, and guess who was standing behind me? One of the ladies from our church. And I don't think she knows. I haven't seen her since, but I don't think she's known to this day. But the thing is, she looked at me and said, "Oh, Brother Lloyd, it is such a blessing to see you. You are such a man of God. I wish all the men in the church were like you. You are so pure. You let people know everything." I'm going, "Lord, if this woman knew what was in this brown bag, she dropped it." I go, "Lord, help me." And she's just going on. Ladies, don't take this the wrong way, but she's one of these ladies that could talk for like 9 hours, didn't have to breathe. And she just began to just rattle on. I'm going, "God, get me out of here. Please, Lord, get me out of here." By this time, sweat's pouring off of me. I'm going, "Lord, I'll get me out of here. I promise I'll never do this again. I'll never do it again, Lord. I promise I'll never do it again, Lord." And finally she goes, "Brother Lloyd, you don't look so good." I go, "I don't feel so good about now." She says, "Is there anything I can do for you?" I go, "Nope." She said, "Are you sure?" I go, "Yep." She said, "Well, maybe you should go home." I said, "Uh-huh." And I shot past that lady like a football player going to the goal line. I ran about 5 blocks, found me a sewer hole, ripped that magazine up, and never looked at pornography again. Scared me to death. Thank God the Lord did that. You know, and I thought about it some years. He's even greater. She says he's good. You're right. I even thought about it some years later. And listen, I could have had a heart. I could run in 5 blocks. I was 250 pounds. You don't run nowhere when you're 250 pounds. So I'm thinking, I could have had a heart attack right in the middle of the street. You could see it now. Boop. Fall on the ground. The magazine goes shooting out the bag. The bag goes shooting out my hand. And they find me dead with a Penthouse magazine. What kind of a testimony is that to be a Christian? But I thank the good Lord that I was able to do that. Because from that I got healed, you know, and I tell most men who struggle in these areas, seek help. You know, ladies, let me tell you something. If your husband tells you, "Listen, I've been struggling with pornography for 30 years, don't beat him up. He's already beat up. Think about it. He loves you. He's torn against this thing. Come together. Pray. Ask the Lord to come to the pastor. Call me. Do something. Get healed of this." You know, there's a natural attraction that males have for females that God gave us, and vice versa. So the devil came in and distorted that, and now it's time for us to turn it around. It's time for us to say, "Lord, help us to be able to do that." The problem is that this country is so bent out of shape that, you know, our kids are under attack. The cell phones. I mean, how many of your kids got cell phones? You gotta be kidding me. Every kid in the world got a cell phone. But are you aware what's on it? Do you understand the dangers of it? People, we gotta do something. Cell phones, iPods, computers, all these things have become a sexual highway. And we can stop it. We've been fighting this thing for 20 years. One of our first big battles was 42nd Street. And when we took it on, people said, you'll never do it. We closed 129 sex shops in Manhattan. 129. And we've been closing them ever since. We learned how to do it with the town, the zoning, get the right people behind you, and the Lord, of course, is there. And we've been able to do these things. And we still, just 2 years ago, we closed 15 massage parlors in the town of Suffolk County. You know, it's crazy what's going on. But we can close these places. You see, it just like the serpent appealed to Eve, this stuff appeals to the flesh. And Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. We've been deceived. Even I read an article about 3 weeks ago, and they're pushing, they're saying that people are exiting the church. The church doesn't matter any longer. Let me tell you something. You can take this to the bank. The church does matter. The right man in the pulpit does matter. The Word of God says we need teachers. We need men and women of God that's going to tell us the truth, what God is saying, not what they think, but what the Word of God says. And they're living it, and they keep going it. I thank you, my brother, for all these years that you've been behind us. You have never, ever failed us. Anytime we've called, you've been there for us. Anytime, anything that needed, you've been there for us. And I want to thank you. And I have about probably 29 other churches like the same way that we can do this. Ask yourself, what part can you do? I mean, this is right now it's a $94 billion business. $94 billion business. Our budget is $117,000, $18,000. But God keeps me. I don't know how. I don't look like I'm losing weight, so he must be feeding me. I have little. I don't have a lot of bills, but I keep them up to date. So God is there with that. Even through all the sicknesses, I had pancreatic cancer, and we came through that. I had colon cancer. We came through that. And then just recently, I don't know how long ago now. Last year, I had two strokes. Couldn't believe it. What is wrong, Lord? Two strokes. I was preaching, got finished preaching, walked to my car, and my legs gave out on me. But then a few seconds later, I was okay. Then, the next Sunday, went to church, on my way home, was cleaning my car, and my son said, Dad, your face is dripping. I mean, it's sagging. So my wife automatically called 911. They rushed me to the hospital. I was there, I couldn't really find anything. So they gave me some medication and stuff. And so I got to watch what I eat. I mean, I do that. These people, listen to me. Don't let people lie to you. We got to watch what we eat. You got to be careful. Now, nobody loves sweets no more than me. I was raised up to eat a chocolate custard pie in one sitting. So you know what I mean? But I had to learn how to get away from it, bow away from it. Why? Because it was killing me. So we need to understand that there's a lot of things that we want to do. But the thing is this, is that the Spirit of the Lord is saying, follow him. Follow him. And watch and see. In John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickened. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Now, I must have read that scripture 100 times and never really understood it until about 3 years ago. And I begin to see what the Lord is saying. I said, Lord, what are you telling me? He says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. That's why we need the church. You're not going to get the Spirit that you need outside that wall. You may get some spirits, but you can believe one thing. You don't want to hold on to them for long. But the Spirit that the Lord gives you, you want to nurture it. You want to be there. You want to draw it in. You want to use it. You want to pray about it. And I'm not saying it's all this is easy. One of the hardest things I find Christians have to do is a devotional time. Who struggles with doing the devotional? Just three of you, four of you, five of you, six of you. Okay, we're getting up there. Come on, seven of you, eight of you. There you go, nine of you. That's right. That's okay. But see, let me tell you what the Lord showed me. I said, Lord, I know these people love the Lord. So I was sitting there thinking, and I don't even know where I got this from. He said, tell them to spend 7 minutes with me each day. 7 minutes with me each day. So I thought about it. I said, Lord, what are you saying? Rather for them to spend 7 minutes with me each day by reading my word and praying to me than the little hop, skip, and jump you do here and there. I'm telling you, take this to the bank. You start doing this, and your life will change. People are coming up to me now that I've mentioned this to, and they go, Bobby, that's Bobby. Let me tell you something. You're right. I said, what's up? He said, I started spending 7 minutes a day. He said, now I'm up to 15 minutes a day. He said, sometimes I got to force myself to put the Bible down. Why? Because God's word is changing. It will change your life. It's not going to be easy. The devil's sitting there watching you going, oh, so now you think you can beat this? Yes, I can beat this, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I do not have to sit and listen to what the devil's got to say. I'm greater than he is because of what God has given me. We need to understand those things. And the flesh profited nothing. You know this flesh don't want to do nothing but add on stuff that you can't even get off. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. You want life? Read God's word. You want life? Pray his word. You want life? Do his word. And God and the Lord will show you. He'll show you how much he cares for you. We need to go forth. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of money and pride and of life. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. So what is the Lord saying? The Lord's saying it's time for us to go forth and do his will. Go forth to understand that even though Adam and Eve got deceived, even though they disobeyed, God sent his son, Jesus. God sent his son, Jesus. God came down here and walked on this earth for us. At least we can give him 7 minutes of our time. At least we can pay him home. I mean, I look outside, you know, listen, I like the air show, and I understand about New Life, you know, because I, you know, they do great things. But you know something? Home. This is home. Get fed here, then you can go out there and do what, and God will guide you. Get fed here and watch and see what the Holy Spirit does. The problem is we don't do it. The liberal media is painting a picture where it's right in our face every day. Sleaze is everywhere. We have to ask ourselves, are we going to hold the torch high or are we going to hold it low? When public policy is immoral, it should be challenged, regardless of who is doing it or what officer is bringing it around. We have got to stop being afraid to confront our politicians, to confront our lawmakers. And tell you the truth, most of them that I talk to, they want to be confronted. You get a knucklehead every now and then, but most of them want to be confronted. So when we do that, guess what happens? They begin to understand what we're talking about. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German Protestant, theologian, pastor, martyr, prophet, and spy. Bonhoeffer stood up to Hitler in 1933, publishing a tract denouncing anti-Semitism. Bonhoeffer said, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. It's evil itself. So if you go ahead and let silence be your leader, you might as well just go ahead and join the enemy. God has called us to this battle. Evil will triumph if good men and women sit back and do nothing. But when we take a stand, let me tell you what happens. God comes in. He elevates us. He gives us wisdom. He gives us a spirit to move forth. No fear is there. But you got to stand. Look at our country. We, from one of the first things we need to start doing, all churches really need to start praying take out some special time and pray for our country. It's out of control. People are shooting people every day. Drugs is out of control. Pornography is out of control. What are we going to do? And it used to be just in certain neighborhoods, not anymore. Some of the richest people in the world, kids are stuck out there on that stuff. And what are we going to do? Everyone throwing their hands up. They send them to secular programs. I mean, they're okay for a little while, but they don't work. Do you understand that we need the nature of God, that we need God to grab a hold to and to show us how we can begin to get these kids healed? But he can't do that until we deal with ourselves. I mean, God can do anything, but there's certain things he just won't do. And it's time for us to say, Lord, help us to be able to do that. During the 1700s, there was a group of pastors that called themselves the Black Robe Regiment. It was formed during the Revolutionary War. Its historical being came when pastors from across the colonies arose and led their congregation into the battle for freedom. Could you imagine a pastor today picking up a gun and go fight for freedom? Not in this country. Well, there's a few out there. There's a few. I seen one, two in Texas or something. That was it, you know. I mean, I thank God for your pastor and his wife. Listen, thank God that they are willing to take a stand. They're not afraid and take a stand. We got to ask ourselves, what are we doing? Where are we going? How are we going to get there? The body of Christ has got to ask the Lord to help. The body of Christ has got to do this. The time has come that we must now arise and awaken to the danger of this hyper-progressive agenda that so permeates every aspect of our political, legal, and educational system. This thing is weaving in and out of our country, inside our churches, inside our politicians. It's just weaving. Look how many politicians they caught. Let's just take this year. Immorality. Now you got secret service guys that they catch them doing stuff. I mean, what is it? How come we've allowed this to happen? It is time now to educate ourselves and push back against the erosion of our freedoms and our liberties and restore the constitutional authority back to all aspects of our government. It will take the leaders of our churches to shepherd their flocks as did their predecessors during our first fight for liberty. Do you realize that we've gotten away so far from what God originally designed us? We don't even know how to get back. Yeah. And the first thing we got to start doing is praying and start asking the Lord to show us what to do. We have got to take a stand, people. I know we live kind of comfortably here on Long Island. That's okay. But how long are you going to be comfortable? Because pretty soon they're going to start telling you what you can see, what you can say, what you can't say, who you can marry, who you can't marry. What is that all about? I'm sorry. It's time that we take a stand. And if we don't do it, we're going to lose. God has a plan for us. God has a plan for us. And it's time that we get on board. It's time that we ask ourselves, what are we going to do? Are you just going to come to church on Sunday, hear a sermon, and leave? Are you going to come and say, Lord, what can I do? You're unhappy, your marriage is not going right. You got to fight. You got to pray. Marriages are falling apart in this country. Why? Because we're not fighting for them. We're losing our churches. Why? Because we're not fighting for them. We're all giving in. You can't give in, people. You got to trust the Lord. You got to come here and you got to take a stand. If we don't, we lose. All the way around. What are we working for? What do we work for? We work for to raise our families, to raise our children in a safe, good environment. But they're under attack every day because no one says anything. Every year, Harvard, Yale, Dartmouth, and a bunch of colleges up in New England put on a sex show, or sex speakers. And the first time I heard about it was 2 years ago. So I wrote them, and I said, put me on a list. Sorry, Mr. Lloyd, we're filled. Next year. Oh, sorry, Mr. Lloyd, we're filled. I said, okay. So I started praying. I said, Lord, what's going on with this? This year, Harvard opted out of it. And I'm trying to find out why. That's one of the biggest days of on their campus. How come they opted out of it? So pray for me, because I'm going to be writing the professor to find out why. I'm hoping and praying that somebody was praying enough that got their attention. And I'm going to say, why don't you let me come in and let me give my testimony. Let me teach on God's plan for mankind and see what happens. So pray for me, because I know God's going to allow it to happen. You know? We need to ask the Lord to continue. I got one more thing and I'm finished. Silence in the presence of evil shames not the act, but condemn them who watch and do nothing. The Lord is telling us to do something. This country is falling apart. We live in an age of unprecedented progress and technology and advancement, an age in which our children and grandchildren will grow up with opportunities unfathomable to the previous generation. At the same time, our young people will face an evil that is age-old, but advancing with boldness and intensity unparalleled in human history. The evil of sexual exploitation and perversion and abuse, be it in the form of hypersexual pop culture, the booming commercial sex industry, the ever-presence of our online porn, the blight of sex trafficking, the forced prostitution that has skyrocketed totally out of control, the sexual predators that lurk in our social network gaming sites that attack our gift of humanity and sexuality. All of these things that's being delivered and directed at us has got to stop. It has got to stop, and we're the only ones that can do it. Esther 4:14 said this, "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" God is calling you to the kingdom to fight. God is calling you. He's calling you. Doesn't matter how old you are. He's calling you to fight. You can't rest. No more rest. No rest. You got too much of God in you. Ask the Lord, what can you do? You can't rest. You got a good leader here. I know you're not resting. Ask the Lord, what can you do? Ask him. There has to be something that you can do to help this fight, to help your family, to keep strong in the Lord. That's what you got to do. That's what God did for us. And we keep going as a family. We get attacks. I got my son here. He struggles sometimes. But you know what? We're still prophesying over him. We're prophesying over our kids. We're prophesying over people. Why? Because God, they need to hear the truth. They need to hear that there's somebody out there bigger than the devil. But if we don't use the proper tools, if we don't pray, if we don't trust the Lord, Lana, we're going to lose. I'm not losing. Do you like to lose? No, I don't either. Don't lose. That's right. Don't give in. God's got a plan for you. I guess your husband and wife got a plan for both of you. Sometimes that don't seem too cool, but it's all right. It works. I mean, because how many know that men and women, you know, just me and my wife, we go at it sometimes. I'm human. She's not perfect. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is that we got to do what God's called us to do. And he wants to use you. I know he's using you. He wants to use you. This is a perfect holiday, man, to go down there. You can walk to the beach from here. You know what I mean? And go out there and hand out some tracts. Go out there and say a good word for somebody. Encourage someone. That's what people need. Listen, do you need to be encouraged? Huh? That's right. You too, right? Yeah, how about you? I know I do. I love it when I'm preaching and people are laughing and smiling. It makes me feel good. Makes me feel like I'm getting somewhere. That God has put me here for a reason. And that reason that he gave me is working. And that's why he's looking for all of you. Take a stand. I can't say enough. We got a good church. I travel all over the United States. Forget it. But anyway, what happens is that God wants to use you. Are you ready? You ready for it? Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, come on now. You got to get serious, right? You ready? Come on. Sister, I know you're ready. Listen, let's say this, and I'll turn back over to the pastor. God is so good. That's what we got to keep telling them. You can't give up. You got to battle. Sometimes we get tired. I get tired. The Lord said, lay down and take a nap. You'll be all right. Get up and keep going. And that's what I do, you know. What I'm saying, I want to thank this church for standing behind us all these years and believing in what we do. Because if it wasn't for churches like this one, we'd have folded up a long time ago. When I first started this 20 years ago, there were 23 other organizations like ours. Today, there's only two. Yeah. And it came from not being supported by the people. I can't say that here. I mean, I thank God. I can't say it enough for this church because you have no idea what the pastor has reached out and helped us and guided us. And, you know, it's been awesome. And I got a lot of pastors here on Long Island the same way. You know, they say, Bob, we believe in you. Come on, bring the word. You know, and it works. It really does. So I just want to just pray right now and ask the Lord to just help us. Father, I thank you, Lord, for coming here today. I thank you, Lord, for all those who came and those who couldn't, and maybe they were with their family or whatever. But, Lord, we thank you. Help us now, oh God, to do your will. Lord, I pray for this congregation that there will be a lighthouse, Lord, to this East End, that, my God, you will be there for them. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.